Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. Reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. If you're looking for a hot tub right now, don't wait. You're going to a lot of stores, you got to wait 8, 12 weeks. Why? Because the supply chain's broken down still because of COVID. And because of COVID and supply chains, wood prices have gone up. Plastic prices have gone up. You're going to find none of that at Hot Tub Outlet. For starters, they have a huge inventory of hot tubs in two warehouses ready to sell right now. 15 different models and truckloads of hot tubs delivered every month. The prices are going to be what they are right now, despite the fact the price of wood has gone up, plastic has gone up, and they actually have them in stock. Don't go anywhere else because you're going to be told, well, the prices have gone up and we just don't have them. Not to mention when you go to Hot Tub Outlet, everything is made in the U.S., great quality, great insulation. Go to Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton or hottuboutletdenver.com right now. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
CBSSports.com had an article titled "The Most Impactful Trades During the Offseason." Teddy Bridgewater checks in at number 5 on the list. Number 1, Matthew Stafford to the Lions. Number 2, Carson Wentz to the Colts. Number 3, Julio Jones to the Titans. Number 4, Sam Darnold to the Panthers. And then Steady Teddy checks in at number 5. You like the list? Is it the right order of that list?
Well, first of all, I think it's obvious that Stafford's number 1.
Yes.
To the Rams.
No question.
And if Stafford is the improvement that they expect him to be on Jared Goff, then the Rams, They're in the conversation with the Bucks and if Aaron Rodgers is a Packer, I guess you'd say the Packers. But more realistically, you're basically saying it could be a Rams, Seahawks, Buccaneers conversation to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. And that's why that's number 1. But I don't disagree with Teddy Bridgewater being in the top 5. In fact, I'd argue he should be one spot higher.
Well, this is how I read this, and I like the way it reads, mm-hmm. personally. Quarterback should always be higher.
Yes.
Okay. Stafford is the best of the bunch. He's number 1, no question there. They are saying that Wentz is better than Darnold and Teddy Bridgewater. I don't think any reasonable person right now would argue that. You could say Julio Jones is a future Hall of Famer, but because Wentz plays the quarterback position, he is higher than Julio Jones. I can understand that line of thinking. Now, Julio Jones is ahead of Sam Darnold. What that is saying is, even though Darnold plays the quarterback position, mm-hmm. he's still not as good or as valuable as a wide receiver, which is kind of a slam on Sam Darnold.
Slam on Teddy Bridgewater.
And then it's even a bigger slam, again, on Teddy Bridgewater, in which they're saying Sam Darnold is better than Bridgewater. And you can make the case, at the very least statistically, last season, Bridgewater was better than Sam Darnold.
And that's the interesting thing, and that's why I would have Bridgewater above Sam Darnold here. Because Bridgewater played at basically an average level last year. ESPN QBR, he was 17th of 33. Sam Darnold near the bottom of the league in pretty much every metric. So
you like the Panthers wide receivers?
Yeah, when they're all healthy. I mean, the Broncos caught a break.
Are they all healthy right now?
They are all
healthy. And you have a healthy Christian McCaffrey.
Yes.
Just
which is something that Teddy Bridgewater didn't have.
Just for fun. Sam Darnold, what's his completion percentage this year? What has it been historically?
Historically, it's been upper 50s to around 60.
Okay, so what does he have this year?
Let's say 61.
Okay, I'll say 62.
Okay.
Let's not do passing yards. That's kind of a silly stat to mm-hmm. me anyway, because you could be behind and pad your stats. Mm-hmm. Touchdown interception ratio. What has it been for Sam Darnold historically in his career?
Historically, it's been less than stellar. In fact, last year he had more interceptions than touchdowns for his career, 45 touchdowns, 39 picks.
Okay. So what did he do last year?
9 touchdowns, 11 picks, completion percentage of 60, yeah. Passer rating 72.7, QBR 40.1.
Okay. So how many touchdowns, how many picks?
9 TDs and 11 picks.
No, this year.
This year?
Yep. Healthy wide receivers.
23 touchdowns, 15 picks.
Well, that's still pretty good.
Actually, that's not.
No. Considering what he did last year,
it's better. It's better for him, but it's not. It's not an improvement over what they had last year from Bridgewater.
I will say he's 23-12.
Yeah,
and I say his quarterback rating climbs to about 82,
which would put him about 10 points below where Bridgewater was last year.
Well, I think he'll be better. For sure.
Right.
He might even be better than what I'm even predicting.
But that's the interesting thing is when you're talking about the impact, I'm also looking at kind of where the team was last year. And Sam Darnold has some distance to go just to be as efficient as Bridgewater was last year. And that's why I would say the Bridgewater trade is more impactful than the Darnold trade, because if Bridgewater pushes Drew Lock and gets him to a higher level, you've got an improvement. If Bridgewater is in there and wins the job, you've gotten an improvement from bottom five to middle tier, which with what surrounds the quarterback on this team, you'd think would be enough to win 9 or 10 games, especially with a soft schedule.
Well, if we're going to go circular logic on this.
Circular
logic, and Teddy Bridgewater last year completed 68% of his passes.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. These numbers are not even close to being updated. Boy, they have him with New Orleans last year. Bridgewater.
Yeah, Bridgewater on ESPN. When he was like 9-2. Now, I think a very interesting stat, and Bridgewater point this
no,
week.
No, I mean they have him playing with the Saints last year.
Yeah, well, that's wrong. Yeah, that's out of date. That's,
ESPN, overrated.
Yeah, ESPN. ESPN is like a U.S. flag with 48 stars on it, basically. But I digress.
Ba-dum-bum.
One thing, though. And I kind of and I put this in the show notes, and I know you have as a question here. Before that knee injury, he talked about it this week and said that in retrospect, he didn't think he should have played after hurting his knee.
By the way, what did you say Bridgewater was last year?
His passer rating?
Yeah.
It was like 92.
No, his passer rating according to NFL.com was 69.
No, it wasn't.
According to NFL.com, it is.
You're looking at something else. His passer rating last year was 92.1. His QBR was 64.2.
I see.
His completion percentage was 69.1.
Right. And he had 15 touchdowns and 11 interceptions.
Right.
Yeah. That's not very good.
The TD to interception ratio isn't. The completion percentage is. And...
Wait, you said, you're saying the 16 starts
right,
prior.
Yeah, because I was making, because I was making the point that he made this week.
No, you're constructing a narrative that fits your narrative.
No, I'm not.
He had 15 touchdowns and 11 interceptions last year.
I'm not constructing a narrative. I'm dealing with facts here, okay?
Well, yeah, you're taking facts and skewing them into an argument.
He pointed out.
16 starts prior to his knee injury.
Yeah, read what I wrote.
Oh, come on.
No.
Yeah, you're taking his stats with the Saints, and they're a really good team, and then you're combining it?
Don't you think that the Broncos have some skill talent as well?
The stats.
But the point being is this. Let me finish my point here, and foreshadowing me down. He spoke this week of how he should not have played after he hurt his knee, because he wasn't the same quarterback. He was down substantially in every metric after he tried to come back from that injury. And he said he wasn't healthy. And that's why I thought, okay, let's see what he did for a full season's worth of games when he was healthy. And it was very, very tidy that prior to the injury, it added up to 16 starts that he had in New Orleans and Carolina, most of them in Carolina. And he completes 71% of his passes. He throws more than twice as many touchdowns as picks.
I'm not combining
23
years.
And 10.
I'm going by what he did
last
year.
And he had 99.2 rating.
I'm doing what he did last year. I'm not combining.
Well, what? You don't want to do math?
No.
To point to a specific moment where it was clear that his form dropped?
he certainly didn't lift the Panthers to any great heights, did he? He wasn't. He was fine. I mean, 69% completion percentage is very good. But then again, there's a reason why we call him Steady Teddy, because he's not throwing the ball downfield.
You can be a good quarterback on a bad team. We just saw that with Deshaun Watson last year. I'm not saying Teddy Bridgewater is Deshaun Watson.
He also took 31 sacks.
He also ran for 5 touchdowns.
Luca.
As well.
I'm not going back to a Super Bowl caliber team to the Carolina Panthers and combining that. That's a very convenient way to make an argument.
Even though his completion percentage before the injury with Carolina was within about a half percentage point where it was.
Well, we will see now, won't we? Coming up after the break, Peyton Manning just keeps getting lots of job offers, and he will potentially have another one that's going to pay him enough money so he can buy Omaha. What is it? That's next.
I want that red velvet. I want that sugar sweet. Don't let nobody touch it.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us at milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed. You get wholesale lumber to the public. Don't do retail. Do wholesale. Rocky Mountain Forest Products, family-owned business since 1974. Their lumber's all over the state, including some really recognizable places like Empower Field, Coors Field, Ball Arena, Stanley Hotel. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, pay wholesale, not retail, for your lumber when you build your next deck, your fence, siding for your home. Rocky Mountain Forest Products should be the only place you should even consider going if price and quality mean something to you. And I'm guessing they do. You can find them in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
Okay, according to the New York Post, Amazon, who's going to now be broadcasting Thursday night games, has considered the idea of hiring Peyton Manning to be the color analyst for its Thursday night football package, which begins in 2022 on Amazon Prime. So Manning has turned down overtures in the past. Do you think there's any amount of money that he'd say, you know what, I'm going to do it?
Well, if there's any outfit that could offer him an amount of money where they just said, okay, name your price, and it could be an absurd price, it would be Amazon, which is a company that is literally worth $1.7 trillion.
The number one retailer, now overtaking Walmart in the United States.
Yes. They're number one globally, too, aren't they?
I just read that.
Yeah.
I wrote it down, and then I read it. I believe everything that I read.
Yeah, Jeff Bezos alone is still worth $194 million even after his divorce.
Yeah,
Amazon is the one. This is the one where money, it could be no object, and they could say, okay, look, Peyton, name your price. And if Peyton said $50 million, I think they might say, done, here.
Okay. If he had to commit to a contract that he could not get out of for the next 5 years, do you know how long the deal is?
They're exploring it. There's no deal in play, just that they are considering this. Remember, Amazon does not start producing games until 2022, and that's when they will have the exclusive Thursday night contracts. There will be no more games on Thursday night on Fox or on CBS that have taken it. It's going to be straight up. If you want to watch Thursday night football, you will have to have Amazon Prime to do it.
Okay, so it's a 10-year deal.
Yes,
10-year for Amazon. 15 games per season.
Yep.
All right. I do not think Peyton could name his number and then take it. It's a 10-year deal. Mm-hmm. If the contract said, this is your gig for the next 10 years, I don't care if it was $100 million a season, he would not sign it.
I don't think he would, but the contract he signs wouldn't have to be 10 years though. That's the length of the Amazon contract to show games. They could offer him a 2-year deal.
No, no. If they offered him a 5-year deal and said, you cannot take any other job. You can do commercials.
But you can't go be you can you leave to be a team president in the NFL?
Nope. So if they offered him $100 million a year, he doesn't take it. He doesn't need the money.
Unless he can get out of it any time. Like,
well, of course. Of course he'll
without
do it
without refunding.
But I, what I'm saying is if they said, no, you are our guy. You can keep your production company. Okay. He can keep the production company that he has, right? And still do this. He can do commercials and still do this. But he can't be a team president. He can't run a team. So if it's if the language in the contract says, you just cannot leave us full time, you have to do these games every Thursday night.
See, I don't think he would leave if it was ironclad to where he couldn't go work for a team. Like John Lynch was able to leave during his Fox contract to go work for, but I don't think he would sign a contract that bound him to it, lock, stock, and barrel.
My point is, if they said name your price, it's not the money that would be most important. It would be the language in the contract that he could leave. For most human beings on this planet, if someone said, you can't go anywhere else for the next 5 years, but name your price, oh, we'd all take it. But for him, this is just to pass the time until the right thing comes along. So it's not a name your price for him. It's a name your terms of the contract. That's what this would be about.
But we've never seen a contract like that for a broadcaster where they couldn't leave to go work for a team.
I'm saying if that's what I mean.
I don't think that. See, I don't think that would have been in play to begin with, to where he couldn't.
He wouldn't allow.
He couldn't go work for.
He
a team.
Wouldn't allow it to be in there.
Right. That's why I went with the money factor because it never occurred to me what you're saying that Amazon would say, okay, you sign this contract, you can't go leave to be a general manager or president or whatever.
I think it is fair to say that Peyton Manning would be must watch. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, he would.
Sense of humor, knowledge of the game, all that stuff.
And one thing that's being kicked around apparently with Amazon is trying to get Al Michaels.
Right.
And I think when ESPN was looking into bringing him onto Monday Night Football, reportedly something that the Manning camp was interested in having was Al Michaels call the games.
Right.
But NBC said no, he has a contract with NBC. And thus, that was scuttled, and Monday Night Football goes on with its current broadcast team.
So are there any broadcasters, play-by-play, color guys in any sport that have been must-watch for you? I think Peyton Manning, you'd want to sample him for the first couple of times just to hear what he says. I'll give you a guy who's must-watch right off the top of my head. Charles Barkley is must-watch.
But he's not doing games. I think that's the interesting thing. He's doing post-game.
No, I understand what he does.
Yeah.
I'm saying he's must-watch.
He's must-watch, but he's must-watch in something that really makes a difference because you're not showing a game at that point.
If he was doing color, he's must-watch. If he's in the shower, if he is reading the newspaper, Charles Barkley is must-watch.
Would you watch a football game or a basketball game that you otherwise would not have watched if Charles Barkley was doing
yes.
it?
Yes.
Okay. And how many broadcasters have that sort of value in the business to where
My value is different than other people's.
Right, but for most people, how many broadcasters have the value where you would watch a game that you wouldn't otherwise tune into because of the broadcaster? I mean, I'm not sure.
I'll give you a guy ABC hoped would be the guy, and that was Dennis Miller. And that didn't work out
very
well. I'll give you two guys that are must watch. And you, of all people, as a baseball fan, would appreciate this. You don't know one guy as well as I do. You know the other guy probably very well. One guy to me is Tim McCarver. When he did games, all I want to do is learn something. That's when I watch a game, I want to learn something.
Yeah.
Tim McCarver understands the game and almost can predict the game. Steve Stone, brilliant.
Why doesn't he have a bigger platform than he does?
I don't know. He's an older guy.
I know.
He enjoys his life. He lives in Scottsdale.
A couple of days ago, I saw him. I was listening to him call a White Sox Rays game, right. And he was terrific. I mean,
well, he under to me here. when we talk about sports talk radio, you hear program directors say all the time, you got to be entertaining. You got to make people laugh. Well, hopefully the people doing the show, the personality is enough. And it doesn't necessarily need to be a bunch of canned bits. When I grew up in Chicago, I like to do this radio show like the show I used to listen to in Chicago. Shows I used to listen to in Chicago. I hope the listener and the viewer feels the same way, the way I did as a listener by listening to this show. I always wanted to learn something. I didn't need to be entertained. I don't need a bottle of seltzer in my face. I don't need a canned joke and a bunch of funny drops. That's not why I listen.
We don't need the slide whistle sound effect.
We don't.
Every time we talk about a player rising.
I'll give you a guy who has fallen down the food chain, who is one of the best guys I've ever heard on Sports Talk Radio.
Okay.
Sandy Clough. One of the best I've ever heard. The guy is...
He still is, in my opinion.
I agree. I enjoy listening to his show. All due respect to the guys who do the shows here and the other station in town.
But I think we can say, like, Sandy's been around this market for so long,
but,
and is so established.
But that, he gets it.
Yes.
I don't need Sandy to make me laugh. I want to learn something today.
I agree.
So when people listen to our show, we're not all, you know, craps and giggles on this show. We have a good time. I just hope our listeners or our viewers may walk away and say, yeah, I may have had a chuckle or two, but I found out something today that I just didn't know.
Make you think.
I have a thirst for knowledge when it comes to reading, listening, watching. I like to learn. I love to soak it up. So that's the way I like to do this show. I don't know if I'm entertaining enough for people. I don't know if I'm funny enough. But when I watch Steve Stone and Tim McCarver, I learn something, and that's why I want to watch. You?
I'm that way. And the one guy that I learned stuff from, and he's very good at anticipating things, is Tony Romo on the NFL and CBS right now.
Right. He's right.
And he's one guy. Back when he called basketball games, I know a lot of people didn't like him because he could be kind of prickly and ornery. I always learned something listening to Billy Packer.
Oh, yeah.
Call basketball games.
Oh, no question.
The Jim Nantz, Billy Packer team, now you learn something. They had excellent chemistry together. And turns out they're actually great friends, and Jim Nantz still speaks very, very highly of Billy Packer. But I could see why he got under people's skin, but I always had a greater understanding of the game I was watching because he would point things out and do so on the fly. And there are very few broadcasters do that, and I agree. That's what I am looking for on kind of a lower level of football. Chris Spielman doesn't get a lot of big games,
yep.
But I always learn something watching him and listening to him as well. And Lou Riddick, who's on ESPN right now, Monday Night Football, learn a lot from listening to him too.
I'll say one more thing before we hit the break. I don't want this to sound any particular way, but those who work at the station, Danny is very well aware of this. Alex is very well aware of this. And you are very well aware of this. So
yeah.
I will let everybody see the little man behind the curtain. The partners I've had on this radio station, I have handpicked. Not the program director, not the owner, I have.
I'm very flattered.
And here is my metric. Talking about you and Pritchard and Les. Mm-hmm. I wanted to work with all three of you because I knew I would learn something every day.
Do you really learn something listening to me?
Every day.
Whoa. Because I learned I learned something being around you.
Okay, the Mutual Admiration Society is getting nauseous.
No, it's true. I do.
So that's the type of show I want to have.
I agree.
Where I can learn something today, and hopefully our listeners and our viewers do as well. That's the kind of show that I like to do. I hope everybody likes to listen to it. Listen to us when I did the show with Les, when I did the show with Pritch. Coming up after the break, Lee Sanderlin, a news reporter in Jackson, Mississippi, lost a bet for finishing last in his fantasy league. And it is a doozy. You got to hear this next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Looking for wholesale lumber to the public? Sure you are. Not retail, wholesale. Go to RMFP.com. Also, don't forget to take us on the go. Download our app, Mile High Sports. You can get us anywhere in the world, crystal clear. If you're in Denver, if you want to listen to us on your radio, great. 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. Or download the app and listen to us in your car. Pretty good idea, right? Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silter Har Mazda. Get to Silter Har in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silter Har Mazda, or find them at sthmazda.com.
Guy by the name of Lee Sanderlin, a news reporter from the Clarion Ledger in Jackson, Mississippi, went viral for the punishment he had to serve for finishing in last place in his fantasy league. He had to spend 24 hours at a Waffle House in a local town in Mississippi. For every waffle he ate, an hour was removed from him staying there. He started at 4 p.m. Central Time yesterday. 4 hours in, he was already tweeting, "Please, somebody, launch me into the sun." He left at 7 o'clock in the morning, having consumed 9 waffles. I know you're not a gambler. I'm not a big gambler either. But when you make bets with friends, what kind of bets do you make? Is it cash-based? Is it something silly? Is it something else?
It's usually kind of, it's a food bet. It's like a betting on a pizza, a beer. Like, for example, in normal years, with people in the Broncos media corps, there are a lot of road trip beers or ciders, sure, that are bet.
Yeah.
Over the course of a year.
Right.
And usually I end up kind of coming out pretty even on it.
Right. And you pay for the beer, or you have the beer with them?
I'm with them and I pay for it.
Gotcha.
I pick it up, but it's with people with you hang out, you know, you're going to hang out with over the course of a year, and you're like, "Oh, we'll bet a road beer on this."
Right. For me, I don't gamble a lot either. And as you found out yesterday, I don't take cash from friends. Meaning, I don't take money from friends.
And you won the bet fair and square, and I tried to pay you.
Good enough for me.
And you refused to take my money.
It's the pride of knowing that I won. I don't need to take the cash. I didn't need $2. The only way I would take money from friends is if we made a bet and then they made me pay. That's the only time I would do it. Now on a golf course, it's probably a little bit different. But the types of bets I make with friends are always dinners. So if somebody asks me to make a bet and I don't bring up dinner, that probably means I don't consider you a very good friend, because I just don't want to spend the time.
Yeah.
But usually it's at a really nice steakhouse where I know that bill is going to be $200-$300. But we're going to go have a great time. Pritchard lost a couple of bets to me like that. Shanahan's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another buddy, Shanahan's. So we'll make a nice...
That is not an insignificant bet when you're talking about Shanahan's meal.
No, but you know you're going to have a great time. You're going to have a great dinner. You're going to have a couple of cocktails. You're going to take your Uber home. You're going to have a great night. With that, how many waffles do you think you could eat if you lost that bet finishing last in your fantasy league?
Wow.
And by the way, the guy put syrup on the waffles.
And that was his mistake.
No, seriously. You're an expert at this?
Well, no, but you're just gonna make it
worse.
Make it worse. You're gonna make it heavier.
How big are the waffles there?
They're the size of a dinner plate.
Wow.
You've been to Waffle House, right? Or no?
I have. The last time I was there, let's just say that I was 20. I had a lot to drink, and I had way too much to drink, and the last thing I remember was the waitress yelling, "Get him out of here!" And my friends dragged me out, threw me in the back of a hatchback, and we drove away. That was the last time I was in a Waffle House.
Yeah.
I was 20.
It was 2 a.m., right? After 2 a.m.?
It was after the bar was closed. Let's just say I had a lot to drink, and you can imagine why. She said, "Get him out of here."
I mean, that's prime time at the Waffle House, right?
It is.
Saturday night, 2 in the morning later.
Right.
The bars are closing. People pour in.
Yep.
Trying to stave off the hangover. But if the situation he was in was that He was sentenced to 24 hours in a Waffle House, but he could slice 1 hour off of that with every waffle he ate. And so if you're doing that and you're trying to get out of there, you're not putting anything on. You're just maybe a little dash of cinnamon and that's it. And
I don't think the syrup's really going to put him over the top.
No, but how do you kind of speed things along a little bit? Well,
good Wi-Fi.
Well, that would help. But also, I was thinking of doing what we see in the hot dog competition.
Right. You dunk the buns in the water.
So you take the waffle bites and you dunk them in water.
Right.
And I'm not saying that it would all of a sudden make you able to eat like five or six waffles right there, right away. But I'll bet you what I would try to do is this. I'd accept that I'm probably going to be here for 12 hours. And my goal was to eat one waffle an hour, doing it by dipping it in the bites in water, no syrup, nothing on it. Like I said,
I don't think it's going to. As a matter of fact, I'll be honest with you. I don't think the water makes much of a difference because you're not speed eating. The reason why you're dipping the bread in the water is so it washes down faster.
Right. So it gets through your system. So your system isn't backing up.
Well, you can't eat bread by itself. That's gonna clog you up pretty quick.
Even with water.
I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference. Do you think it is?
I think it helps speed along the process, keeps things flowing, because if you're doing it right, you're there for 12 hours.
They'd kick you out for making a mess.
What?
They'd boot you out from, you're taking waffles and you're dunking them in water. Who the hell is this guy? Get him out of here.
You're not eating them fast. You're going to be eating them controlled, so you're probably... So cutting the waffle with your knife and fork.
No, you're not. You're cutting with a knife. You're eating with your hands like a gorilla.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, because we got time. We're trying to aid the digestion process. We're not trying to eat
getting very
quickly.
Deep. Yeah.
I've given this a lot of thought.
Apparently you have.
And this is why I put it in the show. And I think the way you accept, like I said, you accept that you're going to be there 12 hours. And you shoot for a waffle an hour. Mm-hmm. You eat sensible bites. You take it. You put it. You cut your waffle up. You take the bite on the fork.
How many do you think you can eat?
I think I could do 12 waffles in 12 hours.
I tell you what, I'll give you $100 if you can.
12 waffles in 12 hours?
Yeah, and I'll sit there with you.
No, actually,
I won't sit there with you. We're gonna.
I don't have time right now to sit in a Waffle House for 12 hours and test this.
You have time for $100?
But think about that. That's less than $10 an hour.
What are you negotiating with me?
I'm just saying.
Do you want $100 or not?
I'm just saying that if.
Do you want $100 or not?
The juice has got to be worth the squeeze here.
Do you want $100? So you don't want $100. You're too good for $100.
Not that way, no.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
I mean, now, if you were talking about like for the potential of 12 hours of being in a Waffle House, if you're talking like $30 an hour, then we might be able to move this thing somewhere.
I'll do that. And if you don't make it, you give me half of it back.
Who's paying for the waffles?
Are you kidding? They're like $2.
I'm trying to. I'm doing everything. I'm calculating everything here.
We'll do this.
We'll talk about this.
There's a Waffle House down the street from my house. It is off of County Line Road.
I do not.
I will give you. Okay. I will give you $300 if you can eat 12 waffles in 12 hours. Okay. Hold on. If you fail to do it, you give me $150. The loser pays for the waffles. How's that?
If I ever have time to do this, I will take you up on that.
I don't have time is code for I'm not going to do it. Danny, what do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing just in case you missed it?
One of the number two tennis players in the country has withdrawn from Wimbledon. We'll talk about that. Also, we'll get into an interesting trade by new president of basketball operations, Brad Stevens, out in Boston. That's all coming up next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Hey,
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Mason and I had the parameters of this down to you. Okay. So we were going to do this for charity. 12 waffles at Waffle House. The winner takes a $500 check from the other person and donates it to the charity of that person's choice, right? Sounds pretty good, right? Okay. Then I said, well, you can't dunk it in water. And he said, you know what? I won't do it then. I said, fine. You can dunk it in water, but you are not allowed to throw up during those 12 hours. You cannot go to the bathroom and throw up. No way.
And I said, puking might come
naturally. In the competitive food eating world.
That should have been a parameter already.
I agree. The terminology in the food eating world is called a reversal. You are not allowed to have any reversals during the 12-hour period.
But the reporter in Mississippi, he was allowed to throw up if it came naturally, and it would not count against the time that he put in for this 24 hours in Waffle House.
I tell you what, we'll put a bucket next to you and we'll find out.
Oh, God.
And someone will escort you to the bathroom. I will escort you to the bathroom.
People are not... how would Waffle House feel about that if there was a bucket? Why is there a bucket next to this guy's...
You got to go outside. And I will escort you personally. Time now for the final word.
The final word is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to masterpieceroofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, Naomi Osaka has cited mental health and spending time with her family as the reasons for withdrawing from the French Open just recently and the upcoming Wimbledon tournament. She's the number 2 ranked women's tennis player in the world. Now, on another note, her only Grand Slam wins are at the U.S. Open and the Australian Open, both hard court surfaces. So do you think surfaces is something that's playing into this decision for her? Obviously, mental health is a very important topic, but could there be something else under the surface there?
I'm going to start by saying, Mace, you have been very public about battling mental health.
Yes.
I will let you answer for both of us because I know what you're going to say. I will agree with 100%.
Yeah. Whatever she needs to take care of, allow her to take care of it. And don't put pressure on her. I don't think it has anything to do with the surface of the tournaments. What I think she is completely sincere in what she is facing and grappling with, and I completely support her on this.
Me too.
Just in case you missed it, the Celtics have traded Kemba Walker, a 16th pick in this year's draft, and a 2025 second rounder to the Oklahoma City Thunder for Al Horford, making a return to the Celtics, and Moses Brown, as well as a 2023 second round pick. Now, Kemba Walker is owed $73 million over the next 2 years. During that same time period, Al Horford only owed $53 million. Do you think this is specifically a move about money, or does Al Horford bring something to the Celtics that they did not have this last year?
If I were the Nuggets, I'd be thrilled with either player. Al Horford to give you toughness on the inside, or Kemba Walker to give you scoring and leadership in the backcourt. I would have been thrilled if the Nuggets acquired either guy.
I mean, really,
both those guys, to me, would have been a huge piece to this Nuggets puzzle.
I mean, really, the issue with Kemba Walker, it's not whether he's good enough, it's whether he can stay healthy.
Right.
Because he's dealt with some injuries. But, I mean, he I think he missed 29 games this past year, but he's still a guy that's going to get you 18 points, 5 assists a night, and the numbers only scratch the surface. He's not at a Chris Paul level, but he's kind of like the next tier down.
And that's my point.
You think he's at the Chris Paul level of leadership?
No, I think
he's at next tier, though. He's close.
Chris Paul's in his own league, but Kemba Walker's absolutely a step below. And that's still very high company.
And I think it's significant that Oklahoma City made the trade for him because, of course,
they had Chris Paul.
Yeah, they had Chris Paul and they lost him. And, you know, they didn't want to pay that salary anymore. But they're not a team that wants to bottom out. They're a team that would like to find their way again.
Right.
And also a young team that's got draft picks coming in. They want somebody who can point the way, who can guide the young players that they're going to build around. So it actually makes some sense for OKC. Just a question whether
the Suns can absorb Chris Paul's bloated salary.
Yeah.
Right? The Oklahoma City can absorb Kemba Walker's huge salary.
You're going to have a lot of guys on first contracts.
The Nuggets with big contracts with Jokic and Murray and MPJ coming up. I don't know if they could take on that type of salary. That was Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it. In case you don't know, hailed last weekend. It hailed a couple of weeks before that. And if your roof gets damaged by hail or you're painting on your house, your gutters, your windows, your siding, only one place to go, Masterpiece Roofing, because Masterpiece does all of that stuff. And if your home gets damaged by hail, make sure you call for a free inspection, free roof inspection today to see how they can get the insurance company to pay for everything as well they should. Go to MasterpieceRoofing.com. Alex, great job today. Danny, fantastic job as always all week. Same to you, Mace.
You too.
Make it the best possible weekend you can.